Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Welcome in. It's another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew talking wall-to-wall Saints football for the next hour. So from Rustin Moreau, Farmersville to Jonesboro, sit back, relax, because we're about to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. The New Orleans Saints lose Game 2 to the Los Angeles Rams, 27-9. But the storylines, again, have more to do with the officiating and loss of key personnel. And today, we got Tomas Mauricio, we got Heath Elsenson, and we also have Wesley Coleman. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host, and we're going to break it all down for you. But before we get to the Saints talk, let's go over the Pick'em League. Tomas, give us an update.
All right, here's the update for you.
I blew.
Here are the standings. Little Dice, still in first place.
Little Dice.
Yeah, 75% pick. Then we go down. Let's see. We got the Dak fan and who that and blah, blah, and blah, blah, blah. And
I didn't say update where you're at. I'm trying to do like a top five or top ten.
That's what I'm doing here. BS and Beer Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He's in ninth. Who we got over here? I don't know where everybody else is. No, who that, two that, no, little. Needless to say, the rest of us are way down someplace.
No, after this week, you should find me at the bottom.
Yeah, you know what, though?
That was ugly. I mean,
I don't know if y'all going to appreciate this or not, but I do believe I won the Saints game because I didn't think we.
Oh, good.
No, I did not.
No,
I take
did
that back.
Really?
It was last week. I actually won the Saints game.
You had to do something because you had more points than what you could have had based on the picks when we did them on air.
Yeah, I know.
I was like,
how to manage that?
Cheater.
I changed them later.
Cheater.
All right. But hey,
cheater.
Actually, people can still get in it. So if you want to be part of the Pick'em League, it drops the two lowest scores. So if you just now thinking you want to be and participate in it, you can still jump in and you won't be hurt because it'll drop you two lowest scores. If you miss the first 2 weeks,
there you
got zeros, it would drop them and you'd still be competing with, I mean, it wouldn't take long to catch up with me.
Yeah.
5 points.
Yeah.
But on to more pressing things.
Really? You only got five?
Yeah, I only have
Hell,
five.
I thought I did bad getting seven.
Wait a minute. I may have fell asleep.
Four. You only got four?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, hell, I didn't fall. But it says here I'm like 77th place.
I don't know if I checked after the Monday night game. Maybe I won that. I might have gotten six. So
here I thought I was safe taking a 19 points.
No, you never say. Never say. Okay. On to pressing things.
All right.
I mean, should
we
start off?
We do the pick-ems later? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, we'll do it.
All right, we're doing
the show.
All right, good. All right.
So Drew Brees.
What about him?
Did you hear the news?
Did something happen?
No,
what happened? I mean, I only got a couple of points in my fantasy league, so I figured maybe he just had a bad day.
He switched to Geico auto insurance, saved a whole bunch of money.
Oh,
that's what. No, oh wait, we can't say that.
I thought he went to the group that you know has the guy who makes me laugh all the time. You know, when he's tailgating, and you know,
you're gonna have to come up with a name. There's a lot of guys who tailgate.
Mayhem.
Oh, the mayhem.
Mayhem, brother.
The mayhem guy. Well, Drew Brees drops back to throw, releases the ball.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if it was the initial hit of the hand or if it bounced back in his face and his face mask.
He tried to follow through, and when he followed through, then his thumb went all the way back.
And so it looks like from all the news we've received.
Yeah, he's back in L.A.
He's going to have surgery on Wednesday. And we thinking. Dr. Tomas here thinks it'll be 6 weeks to 8 weeks.
I believe it's longer than shorter.
I do too. I think there's a lot of optimistic optimistic pronunciations, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
You like that?
Yeah.
Close
whatever.
Enough. But anyway, look, will the Saints be able to overcome the loss of Brees to stay in the hunt long enough to get in the playoffs? And look, everything we've heard, it's a playoff roster.
It should be a strong enough defense, strong enough offensive line.
It may not really be a playoff roster.
And it may we may find that out. That and you know what? I will say this. Immediately after Breeze was hurt, I started reflecting on all the times where I complained about his contract. I complained about, well, you know, it went through my mind before.
He's like lost something on the ball.
Yeah, and it, but you know what? He's if we traded him and could get this and get another guy.
Yeah, well.
And
so you got down on your knees and prayed.
I just realized what a fool I am forever. Even I should have just been like, we ain't talking about that. It's stupid. But the reality of it is, it was obvious when he went out of the game that. Yeah. And look, okay, before we get into it, I want to say that I'm willing to concede that maybe what we saw was you lost not just the best player on your team, not just the lead. You just lost what you consider everything, and it deflated the team.
I don't think so. I disagree.
I think that could have had something to do with it. I also think we had a quarterback that came in, and we're going to discuss this in depth, who didn't have a week of practice, they didn't build a game plan around. And I tell you what, Tomas, there's not going to be a Tomas rant this week. We're going to start a new segment.
Yes.
Where it's just like, okay, let's talk about the bad officiating that happened to us this week.
Oh.
So we had situations where a lot of things were working against the Saints.
Yeah.
So let's start off Drew Brees. Obviously a huge, huge loss for the team.
Yeah, I agree. I think definitely, you know, the team, well, you know, Peyton's offense is geared around what Drew Brees does. Okay? They're on the same wavelength. And so, all right, it's all good. Now, we lose Brees, and we know, look, professional football is a violent game. Every player on the field is one hit away from out for the season or maybe out for the rest of their career. I mean, it's just that simple because it's a very violent game. All right, having said that, I still think it was kind of a freaky thing that, you know, he happened to do that. But I do not, unlike a lot of people, I do not blame Bridgewater at all because he moved the ball. But every time he moved the ball, yellow flag. Yellow flag. So what I believe deflated the team was all the damn penalties.
Well, and I'm going to add to that. The Saints did not help Bridgewater either. So,
well, Bridgewater didn't help Bridgewater. Now, okay. To be really critical about
No. That's not the point. We will discuss that in depth. What I'm saying, Heath, is that you have, you know, I think there were times where Bridgewater was his own worst enemy. I think there were times when the officials were the worst enemy. What about the other Saints skill players who dropped balls, who just didn't make plays when they were there?
Yeah, Jared Cook certainly let him down.
Who's that?
He had a bad game, yeah.
Do we have a guy named that?
And he dropped a couple of balls on him. But, yeah, it was the story was the penalties because, you know, he's right. They did move the ball some.
Yep.
They had quite a few nice plays called back on penalty. Yep. And so he wasn't perfect. Bridgewater wasn't perfect, but he played.
At least in the first half.
Yeah.
I thought that when he came in, he played solidly. He completed some passes. We moved the ball, but, I mean, there were times we picked up a first down and, oh, there's a penalty. Move it back. Next thing you know, we in long situations that – you just simply can't overcome. Wesley, is this something that you feel the Saints will be able to overcome? Look, we're going to go into depth, but how are they going to overcome this?
So I think there's two ways that we can overcome it. One is I think that Teddy Bridgewater's going to be prepared enough and our team's talented enough for us to win some sort of game against somebody that we should probably lose to. Now, over these next six games of Breeze's out, we've got, luckily, some games against some teams that necessarily aren't great. You're talking about the Buccaneers, the Jaguars, and the Cardinals are three of those six teams in the next games. Those are teams that, I mean, you would say that with the talents on our roster, if Bridgewater doesn't turn over the ball, those are teams we should beat with a good game plan. Now, the question is, if we can win those three, now, if we can steal one from Seattle or the Cowboys or the Bears in there, a 3-3 or 4-2 run here, it puts us in great position for Breeze to come back.
Absolutely. The thing that I look at when I see the schedule and before Breeze went down, I kind of looked at it and said, man, you get past these next three games, including the Rams at the time. Listen, our division does not look like a very strong division this year. Having said that, once you lose Breeze, you know, how much better are the Saints really than the Buccaneers and the Panthers and the Falcons? Not that much difference. But when we come back, we're going to break it down and go into depth. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. The BS and Beer Podcast crew, don't go anywhere. Talking wall-to-wall Saints. I'll never be your baby.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio, Heath Delson-San, Wesley Coleman, I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And look, we had a huge loss. Drew Brees out, not exactly sure yet, but it looks to be somewhere in the 6 to 8 week range. But Tomas, that's not the only losses that we had.
No, we had a couple other ones. So Anzalone and Kirkwood have both gone on IR.
IR.
And we got a couple of guys that are banged up pretty good. And I guess time will tell during the week what we have there with Traquan and Pete.
Traquan Smith, the wide receiver.
Klein, too.
And Klein,
there's
some questions. Well, Klein came back in the game.
He did, but there's some questions again about whether he's going to.
Well, and then that'll give an opportunity for the kid from Miami.
Kiko.
Alonzo. Kiko Alonzo. Yeah. So to come in, and he actually played a little bit. I'm sure he's still getting acclimated to the defense, but. Okay, so not only do we lose our franchise player, there are some key contributors. Now, Pete, not the greatest. His grades are on the average side, if that's fair enough. But he gets replaced by a guy that, and Will Clapp, our LSU guy. I don't know. The Saints are going to have a hard time holding up as we're calling Pete average.
See, Will Clapp. I think Pete's a little better than average, and I'd say Will Clapp is average.
Okay, I'll say this. I agree he's better than average, but I think Will Clapp is below average. So I'll give you that one and take away from that one. Right.
The question is why? Where was Easton, and why is he not ahead of Clapp?
I don't know that one.
Considering he was, free agent signed.
And the Saints paid pretty good money for him, too.
Yeah. But then the other thing is where Pete is not necessarily great when it comes to, say, pass protection. He's a mauler in the run game.
Sure, absolutely.
And so if the Saints wanted to lean on the run game more in Drew Brees' absence, Pete is not a guy you want to be missing.
Right. And we're not exactly sure with the injury. It looked like an ankle. Was that fair?
Well, he got hit when Alvin tried to come on that side, and they showed it on slow motion that Pete's leg was extended and Alvin actually smacked into his ankle.
All right. So we can rub some dirt on it. Chances are he'll be good.
That's what I say. Spit a little bit, put a little on it and keep going.
Wesley, what kind of loss is Pete to the offensive line?
None.
Okay, Wesley.
I was waiting for Wesley to say that.
I mean, again, it's one of those things is where if you want to grade him out as average, which, this year he's graded out a little bit above average, but the person behind him, whoever's backing him up, is not average yet. They've got some skills that could let them in a few years work into being an average guard in the NFL, but Will Clapp or Nick Easton or whoever's going to back him up is not as good as Andrus Pete. So it's kind of like that just the person coming in is not gonna fill his shoes, however big they are.
I called in during the break. I called Will Clapp like the guard version of Zach Schrieff. Zach Schrieff was a warrior, hard worker, knew his assignments. I don't know. He was a backbender. He was one of those guys that he didn't really squat, but he got the job done. And I think that's what the Saints see out of Will Clapp, because athletically, that was the issue coming out of in the draft, is that he's a guy that knows his assignments. He's a hard worker for you, but he's just not athletically gifted. And it showed on the first play that he was in the game. Now, keep in mind, if you have Will Clapp, I don't care what, second year, he was a seventh round draft pick, guy that you try to line up in front of Aaron Donald is going to get destroyed.
Brockers,
even Brockers.
That's the other thing we got to remember. The Rams have a pretty damn good defensive line. So,
and in all of our Saints talk and of all our complaints, what ends up happening is lost. That we played a very good team on Sunday.
Yeah.
And the thing, too, is one thing that I don't know how we can even correlate into what it meant in the game, but it's a pretty tough game of going through. One, you have the interception that comes off the hands of Jared Cook. It should be a first down, turns into an interception, a turnover, where they get down and get points. Well, then right after that, you've got Brees get injured and come out of the game. The team really rallied. The defense stood them up again and got what they – everybody saw was clearly a touchdown. So you got three super negative plays in a 10 to 15 minute period that destroys the mentality of everybody on the team of how bad can this get? Drew Brees didn't throw an interception, but they got an interception. Yeah. We get an injury, and then we get a touchdown taken away. That's pretty tough to recover from in your game plan. And you can't just look at the final score and go, oh, we lost by 16, so the 10-point swing doesn't matter. It definitely matters. The entire game could play out differently from that point.
And I've said this 100 during 100 different games. You can't just say, well, that 7 points would have – because you don't know how a team would have played differently.
No, as soon as you change one thing.
You know, how many times have – forget the Saints. Any team been leading at one point and, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, but we had them beat at halftime. Yeah, that doesn't matter. The point is any particular play could change the momentum of the game. And that play – you know, I guess there's no better time than right now to really get into another situation. And listen – I almost don't want to talk about this because it's the least original the talking point of any radio show or podcast that I've heard. And it's three games in a row where there was a significant play that could have changed the outcome of the game.
Well, I do want to talk about it, Dave, because forget being a Saints podcast and being Saints fans. Forget three games in a row. This is a whole bunch of games in a row where the NFL referees are not doing their job. And it's a simple execution of the rules, calling things correctly. And beyond us being Saints fans, we're watching other teams play. We're seeing this with games being won and lost on blatant wrong calls by officials over and over again. You got this in Denver and Chicago. Like, that affected the game 100%. The Bears do not win that game without that BS call on Chubb. I mean, this is getting sad. Like, we've talked for years about the NFL having all this money and being able to have full-time referees. Something's got to change. And again, I want to not talk as a Saints fan whining about the championship game and all that. This has to stop. There has to be a fix because it's ridiculous. It's way out of control.
Well, the issue that I have with the officiating is that it's not really the judgment calls. The, well, that could have been holding, could have not been holding. That pass interference, not. These are rules interpretations, if that's the right way to say it. It's
not in the rule book.
It's standard practice that when a ball is out, that you do not blow the whistle. We've been hearing about this 3 years. Is that about right? 3 years that they changed the rule where don't blow it dead. Just let them play it out. You can always, as soon as the guy scores, it's going to be reviewed. Yeah. You just bring it back. So don't blow the whistle. And yet they blow the whistle.
And who blew the whistle? It was the head official with the white hat was 4 feet away. And he had the perfect view of exactly what was going on. It was perfectly clear to everybody that it was a fumble, that was an empty hand moving forward. And he's the one that blows the whistle. And again, he's the number one guy that should be knowing the rules. Don't blow the whistle until you're sure.
Right. Head of the crew is the one that you end up with the blown call.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
All right, brothers, wait, see? I think that you've missed it, so I want to be the first one to give it to you. You know, we said just now, the NFL has lots of money. They're looking to, you know, what can they do to do something about these? They did. You all just weren't in on it. They cut a deal with Foot Locker in order to have new referees at these games.
Yeah.
And so what you had out there, and Cam put it out there. He said, look, you know, these Foot Locker, I mean, referees.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Goodell, along with Jerry Jones in Dallas, decided, you know what? We can make some more money. We just need to cut these old, you know, guys out of here and bring in some people from Foot Locker. They're not selling any shoes anyway. So there you go. That's what happened. That's the breaking news just for you all.
Yeah. Breaking news, Foot Locker.
Referees. I like that he came back later and said, you know, no offense to Foot Locker.
I'm sorry if I offended anyone at Foot Locker comparing you to an NFL referee.
There you go.
All right, so we kind of covered the bad officiating.
Can I say one more thing, though, before
Absolutely.
We go on? I know we kind of said this. Look, we were 3-3 when that fumble was called back. That would have been 10-3. That would have been a score at halftime. 10-3 at halftime, you make some more adjustments, it's a completely different game. Completely different. But when you call that back, suddenly it's 6-3 at halftime. And like I said before, all those yellow flags coming from the Foot Locker people just completely took away any impetus we had in this game.
Yep.
So a big turnaround with those 7 points. Big, huge turnaround.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, all right, so our future, at least in the short term, you know, not maybe in the long term, Bridgewater, my first inclination is to say that I believe in the Saints. I believe in Sean Payton, and I believe when they made him the highest paid backup quarterback in the league. They did not do that because of some anything other than they're confident that at worst, he's a very good backup quarterback. I don't believe we really saw that on Sunday. Now, okay, offsetting that is we are going into Seattle, which is Drew Brees doesn't play very good in Seattle. So I don't know, even after a week of preparation, game planning, because look, there's similarities. I've heard that the Saints offense is not going to change a whole bunch because of Bridgewater, but it won't be the same. They will game plan for what Teddy Bridgewater does better, does best, things that he might do because he has a stronger arm, might be a little bit more effective. And I do believe that there is a better Teddy Bridgewater out there. And so maybe not so much, this is what worries me, maybe not so much Seattle. Then I start thinking, well, maybe not so much Dallas. But then yeah. After that, the schedule does get easier. So, Tomas, what's the number we have to get to if there are, what, 8 games that now there's a bye week. So let's say, are we going to be 10 games into this?
We have, here's how I'm looking at it. We have 6 games before the bye, all right? So if we can go 3-3 and then have the bye, that means we're 4-4 because we're 1-1 right now.
Right.
So if we can be .500, middle of the season, with the bye, I think we have a chance. We have a chance to, at the very least, be a wild card team.
Well, you got to get in the game. You got to get into the playoffs. Well,
because exactly. And then once you're there, it's 0-0 for everybody. Now, I would say to you, are we ready to do the analysis on Bridgewater?
Or yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I don't, you know, Bridgewater, I believe, is a fine young man playing quarterback. But there are some things that he
does.
So
you let him date your daughter if you had a daughter, is what you're saying.
I didn't say that.
No.
It may be your daughter. But
so you let him date my daughter. Thank you.
I love the kids, but, you know. All right. But anyway. They're constantly, he holds the ball too long. That's the one thing. If he could change that, I think it would make a world of difference. But if you watch that game, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing again. But if you watch the game, the part that I did watch with him, he hesitates too long in throwing that ball. Okay? And so, whereas Brees throws to a spot because he says, you're going to be there at that spot. So before you even make the break, the ball's in the air. Teddy waits for the break.
Right.
So if he waits for the break, it's too late. You see? In my opinion.
Yeah.
So if he could just, I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to throw now. Boom, I'm gone. Rather than, wait, he throws that one little hesitation pump. And then the guy cuts in front of it from the defense. So that's my biggest concern. I think that Sean is a great offensive mind. He will come up with a game plan for the strengths of Bridgewater.
Oh, okay.
But if you're going to say you also need a running game, now I have another problem. Because where's the running game?
Well, and then you talked earlier, Heath, about the absence of Pete. But, Heath, you had made mention during the break that you felt the same way about Bridgewater, is that he just simply does not throw with anticipation. Yeah. Are the Saints built for a quarterback that may not have the same anticipation skills as Drew Brees?
Yeah, well, you know. You know, they're going to have to either adjust to it or Bridgewater's going to have to adjust. You know, early on in his career when he was at Minnesota, Bridgewater was an interception-throwing machine. He had almost as many interceptions as he did touchdowns.
Yeah, that's why, yeah.
Now he looks like a guy who's trying not to turn the ball over. Yes. But in order to do that, I don't think he's just waiting for the break. He's actually waiting for the receiver to separate, stand in the middle of the field and wave his hands before he's throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And he gets away with that sometimes because he has a strong arm and he can rifle it in there before they can close on him. Sometimes not. So he's going to have to take some more chances in order, you know, you have to take chances. What separates the good quarterbacks from the average quarterbacks in this league are guys that can take those chances and hit them at a high percentage of the time. Drew Brees throwing a guy open, putting the ball in a specific spot, all of those kind of things.
Now, Wesley, after Bridgewater, keep in mind, he has not played a bunch of football over the course of the last couple of years.
No.
So once he gets some practice reps, once, unfortunately, gets a little more game experience, do you think that's going to improve, or is that just what Bridgewater does?
I mean, I think that both parts of it. Sean Payton's a smart enough guy to where there are little things he's going to adjust. To say that we're going to – he's not going to come out and say, yeah, we're changing the game plan. There's things that are going to be adjusted, routes that can be ran a little bit different. And I think that the participation of Taysom Hill in a quarterback might be a little bit different too as we go into this next game with a real game plan. So I think there will be some adjustments. And I think that Teddy Bridgewater – again, I default, the same as you, Dave, I default to the Saints and Sean Payton and their expertise. They picked Teddy Bridgewater. They've been watching him play football for a year and a half now. They believe in what he brings to the team, and they think that he's the best backup, that it was worth $7.25 million, and they think he might be the quarterback when Breeze is done. I mean, it's a possibility. So I default to them that they're great.
All right, so before we go to break, Taysom Hill, it's hard to take Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback, off the field in any situation. So maybe Taysom Hill got three plays, maybe got four. Real quick, how many plays does Taysom Hill get now that Bridgewater is the quarterback?
Zero.
I think he'll same or slightly more, maybe.
I want 13% Taysom Hill.
13%, you got it right.
13%.
I think we'll see an increase. He'll be getting more opportunities as quarterback. I'm thinking more of 10 to 12 plays a game as opposed to 3 or 4. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. There's still tons to talk about. We'll be right back.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories. Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7. And again, if we could record what we talk about during the break, this show would, I know, they might even...
Probably just leave the button on and then you go back and edit. Right,
yeah, but all the cuss words you use, Tomas, and all the profanity.
Well,
what
the...
Where's your beep button?
I need my beep button. No, but listen, what we've been talking about here, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman, Heath Elson-San, I'm Dave Romero, is... What do we think we're going to get out of the backup quarterback position? And I think, man, as soon as we started kind of just talking about the things we're going to touch on, the conversation exploded, all kind of great viewpoints.
Yeah, we finished already, Dave. Let's move on to the next
I know, that, and now I got to think of something else to talk about. You guys don't get to hear it. But really, my perspective is this, and we'll, I hope you guys take off with the same passion, is I trust Sean Payton. They've been watching Bridgewater in practice. I completely agree that we have not seen the game. I made excuses for the final game against the Panthers last year because we didn't have all the starters. I don't think the team was really playing with a lot of emotion. I think that Bridgewater needs some practice, and I think, unfortunately, he's going to need some game exposure because he just hasn't been playing with that speed of the game. So I'm hoping that, I don't know if we'll see it against Seattle, but we'll start seeing a better Teddy Bridgewater once he just gets a little more comfortable.
Well, you know, let's hope so. What we've seen in games so far in the preseason with the Saints, go back to the final game last year, Carolina, regular season game, preseason, we've kind of seen either the same guy we saw yesterday or worse. In the case of the Carolina game, final game of the season was bad.
It was bad.
Okay, now realize he wasn't playing with all of the guys and everything, but he played poorly in that game, you know. And so... I don't know. I'm not saying that Taysom Hill is any better, you know.
He is.
What I am saying is I'd certainly rather watch him play than to watch Teddy Bridgewater play.
You're not going to make that great point. You'd rather pay money. See, that's what I was hoping to hear from you. Well, I would pay money to see Taysom Hill play.
Is that what I said?
That's your quote. Now, here's the thing. Is Tomas is convinced that it's not Teddy Bridgewater at all. That he thinks that Taysom Hill is the guy. Now, I'm going to make the argument that Taysom Hill, while much improved in the preseason, playing against backup players, mainly against guys who are not even on anybody's team right now, third-team players, some second, and while he showed great improvement because he still had to make the plays, and he did, I just don't know. The windows are significantly tighter. I don't know if he's ready, Tomas.
All right, so here's what I'm going to say to you. As Heath said, the Teddy Bridgewater we have is the Teddy Bridgewater we have. There's not a learning curve. There's not an improvement curve. This is Teddy Bridgewater.
No, I just disagree, man. The guy hasn't played a lot of ball in the last 2 years.
I'm sorry. You asked me for my opinion. And my opinion overranks the facts.
The facts.
So this is the fact then that Bridgewater, Heath even said it. He was an interception machine in Minnesota. So I don't see any difference here. So I'm going to put this out there to you. I think that if Bridgewater needs six NFL games to find out whether he's better, worse, or the same. I'd rather get six NFL games to the Mormon Missile and see if indeed he can get better, because I think he can. I think there's a much bigger improvement curve to Taysom than there is to Bridgewater. That's first thing. Second thing, and I'm just going to put it out there, Dave, for you to think about. If we lose at Seattle and Bridgewater does not have a good game, if we lose at Dallas and Bridgewater does not have a good game, then what?
Well, okay. I mean, that's a great question, because the first thing, everybody's going to be calling
games.
No. Okay, let me clarify then.
All right.
I think that he needs more games, and he will improve into a very good backup quarterback, if not a bottom tier starter kind of guy. But I will also admit, if he has two bad games in a row against those teams, that the pressure will be so much.
Yeah, that's the real
from
question.
Everybody, including myself.
How short is the hook?
Yeah,
I think the Seattle game, they're going to let him play the whole game. I don't think that Taysom will play. So when you asked me, I said zero, meaning in the Seattle game. I don't think you see Taysom, okay? But if it's average or the same or whatever that we get and we lose the Seattle game, I think Teddy's going to be in a really short leash for the Dallas game.
Well, the thing that I'm trying to point out with that question wasn't that he'll come in and replace Bridgewater, just his role as that, like, you know, the trick.
But he can't, because he's now number two quarterback.
But no, but he's playing quarterback. If he gets hurt playing quarterback, I don't want to see him out there playing tight end anymore. But if he gets hurt playing quarterback, then he got hurt playing quarterback. So if he comes in and he gets 10 to 12 plays playing quarterback, I mean, I think it's worth the risk, you know. But Wesley, Bridgewater, can he play average? Does he have time to improve over the course of the next, let's call it, three games?
I'm not giving him that much a rope, Dave. I agree with you that I trust Sean Payton and the Saints brass that they have put Teddy Bridgewater in this position and paid him the money they're going to pay him because they believe he can do it. And I also have made excuses for him of the Panthers game last year and then getting thrown into this game last week. Those excuses are gone when we get into Seattle now. And I'm talking about by the end of the game, we can't have Teddy Bridgewater with 50% completion percentage, with, you know, no touchdowns and one interception and not scoring points and us kicking four field goals. Again, this needs to be the time to put up or shut up. Like, he's got to get going. He's not a rookie or second-year quarterback. He's only a second year in our system. He's been doing this a while. And to what Heath was saying, I also agree. When we go, the preseason is the preseason, but when we're grading Hill versus Bridgewater, maybe if you look at their numbers, Bridgewater's numbers might have looked better and stuff. Hill was getting more points on the board for the offense. It was exciting to watch, and somehow we were getting into the end zone, even if it wasn't the typical way that an offense drives the field, where Bridgewater left us with a lot of stalled red zone drives.
Yeah. Now, okay, look, I'm not saying that's not more exciting. I don't care how we get it done. I don't care if he, you know, does cartwheels into the end zone as far as Hill. If he gets it done, I'm fine with that. I'm just more concerned. And, you know, look, at some point, if Bridgewater doesn't get it, it's not like Bridgewater. Well, I guess we did invest. I guess it's lost upon me. I kind of forgot that we signed him for 2 years. And I don't know how much of that money is guaranteed. But
well, I think only 1 year of it is
guaranteed.
Yeah.
So the point is that I don't think Bridgewater's in any place where if he doesn't play well that you can't say, get him out of there, let's see what Taysom does, and try to move forward that way. I guess I'm just not confident. I love the guy. I am not confident that he is ready to go into a game and be able to do enough things, meaning we know what he can do when he runs the wildcat or the option. We know what he can do when he's running the ball, but let's not act like a handful of times he's thrown the ball that he's been extremely accurate. And I just wonder what happens when he just can't run the wildcat on every play.
He can't run the wildcat on every play, but what he can do is if he doesn't wait too long. He has been sacked a few times back there when he played in the preseason. But he has the ability to turn those plays into positive yards. Yeah. Most of the time, more than just positive yards. I mean, he can pick up 10 yards with his legs like it's nothing.
Right.
And so And part of that is because he has such good wheels. The other part of it is he's going to lower his head like a running back.
Right.
And, you know, he's not going to slide, and he's not going to get taken down.
I imagine there's a couple of defensive backs who are like, well, maybe I don't want to get to him as quickly as the next guy. So
both questions, Dave, is Taysom Hill right now ready to be an NFL starting quarterback? I agree with you. Absolutely not. He's fun to watch. But, no, he's not ready today. He might be ready one day. The other question, though, is Teddy Bridgewater ever going to be an NFL starting quarterback? We look back at the numbers he had in his Pro Bowl season. They're not NFL starting quarterback numbers. They're weird, and we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
It's time for him to either execute it on the field or for us to say, like, it's just not in his future.
Well, to follow up on what Wesley said now, if you don't think that Taysom is ready now to be an NFL quarterback, let's go back. Coach keeps referring to him as the next Steve Young. Okay, so he came out. He played in the World Football League, whatever the hell it was.
USFL.
USFL. Yeah. He was terrible. All he did was run. That was Steve Young. Then San Francisco said, then Tampa Bay said, we'll take him. And then he was fiasco there too. Then he went to San Francisco. He sat behind Montana. He came out, and when he first came out, he wasn't that good either. But suddenly, he turned into the Steve Young we have. So my question, and to follow up on whatever he said here, again, I go back. We know what Bridgewater is. In my opinion, he's a good backup quarterback. They signed him because, hey, if Breeze goes down for a couple of games, we can be 500. That's it. They didn't sign him and say, oh, in my opinion, they didn't sign him and say, oh, he's going to be the next. So if he's just going to be, if we're going to only be 500, I just assume be 500 with Taysom Hill and see how he develops. Give him a chance, just like Steve Young, to learn the game on the field.
Yeah.
And we can say, well, this year is a learning experience. Next year, when the entire offense is geared to Taysom Hill, and we actually have a tight end who can catch the ball, you know, then perhaps, you know, we have something. Okay.
Well, can Taysom Hill throw the ball to himself? Now, that's the question if he's playing tight end.
Yeah.
Now Heath, I'm going to say to Tomas.
I've seen Steve Young do it.
He did that do it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's that Coach Payton once told me that Josh Hill was a replacement for Jimmy Graham. He said it.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know.
Wishful thinking.
I'll be honest. I remember looking at Josh Hill once and thinking, wow, this guy's got, you know, he's got some ability there, you know. And I thought he was going to develop into more than what he has.
Right.
But,
playoff
yeah.
Josh Hill.
Hey, that's all you can ask for.
But back to Steve Young, I agree with Tomas, you know. I hated the 49ers during that period because they were our biggest rival, but I love to watch Steve Young play quarterback.
Yep.
Now, we keep talking about how this next six games are going to go and we can go 500 ball. The thing that's going on, too, is we're in a division that's really struggling to where they're going to end up going 500. So this is a division we're going to – if we can go 500, we still might be in first place in this division with Tampa Bay's got Winston – Atlanta has no offensive line, and Carolina's got no quarterback. It looks they're saying now that Cam Newton could be out for an undetermined amount of time. This is a division that could fall back to us if we go 500. We could seriously be in first place.
Well, that we hope we can do, and the division is kind of weak. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have our picks, have some final thoughts, wrap this all up for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I don't mind. Come on over, see me.
Well, it's your old buddy Chef Pierre Gautreaux. Y'all gather around the radio and we gonna listen to some BS and Beer podcast. Ooh, ça c'est bon, that's a good show, yeah.
BS and Beer Podcast Crew 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Listen, we've talked, and maybe rightfully so, about a lot of Drew Brees, a lot of who's going to replace him, the team and the officiating. But, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the rest of the team, specifically the defense. And, yes, gave up 29 points. But I tell you, that defense hung in there and was playing a tough game against a good offense. The first half had a touchdown, strip sack, touchdown taken away from them. I guess we still get the sack and the turnover, but unfortunately we don't get the touchdown because of some poor officiating.
Oh, God.
But all in all, the Saints defense, I think, played solidly until the game somewhat got out of hand. like the direction the Saints defense is going. It looks like the return of David Onyemata really helps solidify the run defense. I think we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, the Saints they have got to clean up the third and longs. This just continues to be an issue. Everybody in the world knows this team needs 17 yards on third down, and they get it at way too high of a percentage rate. And really, I really think it has to do with play calling and those specific downs.
Situations.
Because that has been an issue since Dennis Allen has been the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That's really been the Achilles heel of the team. Overall, that's the weakest point on his defense since he's been defensive coordinator, is giving up third and long. And chunk plays in general, but especially the third and longs.
Tomas, we talked about Davenport. You and I had a conversation on tweets. I actually heard another radio show say that Davenport wasn't disruptive. And looking at a stat line, and there's so much more to it than the stat line.
Yeah.
Stat line did look disruptive. I don't know if the play necessarily kind of fit in and meshed with the stat line, but he had a sack. He had he had three quarterback hurries. He had a tackle for a loss, and he had four overall tackles in the game. Look, the Saints are using them in a unique way. They're not just lining them up at defensive end and playing them as in that position. They're playing them all over the defense. They're playing them in the middle. He's rushing from the inside a lot.
Well, like I said, I don't believe he was disruptive. Okay, I think Aaron Donald was disruptive.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay, but I don't think Davenport was disruptive. From the viewpoint of, I don't really care about the stat line. I watched the game. All right, watching the game, I didn't see where our offensive line actually feared Aaron Donald.
Right. Okay, I think it's
their
not,
offensive line didn't fear Davenport.
Okay, are we really trying to compare a second-year defensive end who we knew was raw to the best player
in
the NFL?
Well, this is the problem, though, what I said about defining disruptive.
Yes, exactly.
Was he disruptive for the level he's at? Is that what you're asking?
But here's the thing. Did he disrupt plays? Was he someone that made tackles behind the line of scrimmage? Donald destroys offenses.
Well,
I mean, that's not disruptive. That is completely dismantled. He not only hurt our guard after abusing him, he took our quarterback out of the game because Pete whiffed on him. And then he took the guy who was behind him and dismantled him. You know, so, I mean, I don't think it's fair to compare him to that. If you're saying that, I mean,
it's completely not disruptive. Maybe it's not fair to compare him to that, but comparing to another guy on his own team, I would give Cam Jordan disruptive, which then means I can't give Davenport disruptive.
I'll give somebody else even disruptive.
T-Hex, another.
He was disruptive. If you're going to compare one guy to another.
But here's the thing. I'm not trying to discredit anything. He had a sack and a strip and a fumble, caused a fumble that should have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Huge game-turning play. But you didn't hear much of him. He didn't have three quarterback hurries and the things that Davenport did have, even though they didn't result in sacks. Sometimes you can disrupt
an
offense.
What's more disruptive, though? A quarterback hurry or a strip?
No. I mean, I'm not trying to.
If that fumble stands.
Yeah, no. That was a huge play. It's hard to say which one was more. Three hurries.
Our defense comes back on the field, you're not going to tell me the offense is going to say, hey, dude, look at this guy 91 next time. Don't let him get in there.
No, I disagree with that. He had a game-changing play, but at the end of the day, if that's the only play he made, the other guy is rushing the quarterback all the time, force him to throw the ball.
Yeah, big deal.
I think that's – that means
snap.
Nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing to me, brother. Watch the game.
So
right. Well, take this for what it's worth, but PFF says the Saints have the number one ranked – pressure from the defensive line in the NFL.
Everybody's disrupted.
For two games.
Know that.
So from that standpoint, the entire unit is disruptive.
Tuttle was disruptive.
Yeah.
And he's like a
who, Tuttle?
If
we give Tuttle disruptive, then I got to give Davenport.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to give Davenport disruptive, they're all disruptive.
Did Tuttle have three quarterback hurries and a sack?
Yes. Look at the stat line.
I didn't see that. I did not
look
see
at the stat
that.
Line.
I have to look at the stat line.
Okay.
Wesley, have anything to add to this unique conversation?
Absolutely. Just, taking opinions and any of that out of it, pressures is a real stat that NFL keeps. Marcus Davenport had 7 pressures in the game. He was going, when he was lining up on the right side of the defense, he was going against Whitworth, who is generally regarded as the Rams' best offensive lineman, and he led the team with 7 pressures. Cam Jordan and Hendrickson both had 4 pressures. Now, I think that most of us can agree, Cam Jordan seemed to be held on almost every day.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe
yes.
he didn't get more penalties. But let's throw that out. On pressures, Davenport had 7 pressures, led everybody. Onyemata was second with 6. So, just taking opinions out of it, he pressured the quarterback and got a real stat out of it.
Thank you, Wesley. You know what? You are a valuable contributor to this show, and I'm glad.
Well, I tell you what, NFL, then you need to start making strip for fumbles. Cause fumbles a real stat.
A real stat.
Oh, wait, I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, no, listen. That's hard to argue because I'll look at it like this. I'll make this. What game was it that P.J. Williams stripped the ball or intercepted the ball and ran it back for a touchdown? Change the game. Yeah. You cannot. That is one of the most dominant plays. Yeah. But nobody's going to argue that he is a great player.
Are you saying P.J. Williams is not disruptive?
Yeah. Depends on what team you're talking about.
Are you
about.
Trying to tell me that offensive coordinators don't set up at night and game plan for P.J. Williams? Is that what you're telling me?
All right, let's get to these picks before you guys run me out of a job here. All right.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the 2 greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, this is the part of the picks where I usually say, Tomas, tell us, and we talk about, but I'm not even going to talk about what went on last week. Let's move forward. And to me, one of the more interesting things, simply because I'm seeing spreads on these games I haven't seen in a long time. The Dolphins are at the Cowboys. The Cowboys are giving up a whopping 21.5.
A whopping. I'm going to take the Cowboys and give up that whopping 21.5.
Wesley.
I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Oh.
I can't do it. I'm going to take the 21.5 with the fish.
I'm going with the Dolphins.
The Fins.
I mean, that's so many points, but yeah. God, they're bad. Yeah. Okay, so let's do the Packers and the Broncos. The Packers giving up 7.5 points. Heath?
I'm going to take the Packers.
Me too. I'm going to take the Packers.
All right, well, I'm going to go with the Packers.
Broncos.
All right. Let's go Chiefs-Ravens. I think that's interesting. Chiefs giving up 6.5 at home. What you say, Heath?
I'm going to take the Chiefs at home and give up the points.
Wesley?
Also take the Chiefs.
I also take the Chiefs.
That's a sweep. All right, so Raiders-Vikings. The Vikings at home giving up 7.5.
This one was kind of tough, but I'm going to go ahead and go with the Vikings at home.
Wesley?
Take the Vikings.
Raiders!
I'm going with the Raiders. Hey, they've been playing solid ball, and I don't think the Vikings are that good. Let's see. Lions-Eagles. So the Garys are getting 6.5 points at the Eagles, who have not been playing as well as everybody's expecting them to.
Yep. And now DeSean Jackson is out for a couple of weeks for the Eagles. And so with the Lions playing as tough as they've – I'm going to take the 6.5.
Going with the fight.
And
Lions.
Go with the fighting Garys against the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles are really bad, but the Lions are worse. Sorry, Gary.
Oh.
I'm going to go with the Lions as well.
That's only because you don't know Gary like we know Gary. That's and I'm going baby. With the Lions, the mighty fighting
so
Garys.
So, by the way, the 21.5 points that Miami's getting against the Cowboys, then the 2 Miami losses so far this year, they average in losing by 46 points. So,
dang.
If anybody who's worried about hey, giving
I
up
know,
the 21
I want y'all to know that I do leave it open to me changing after the show. So yeah. I could change
oh, well, we know that,
at any point. All right, so we got another one. We have the Jets. And I heard somebody today say, what's more pathetic? Is it the Dolphins tanking or is it the Jets are trying to win and are probably worse and may get the number one pick overall?
Poor Jets.
So the Jets are getting 20.5 points at the Patriots. What you say, Heath?
Not enough. I'm going to take the Patriots and give up the 20.5.
Also going to be taking the Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Jets at the 20.5 points. They're starting their third-string quarterback, who might actually be better than their second-string quarterback, even though their second-string quarterback is a warrior.
O-J-E-T-S.
There
Jets. I'm going to take the Jets. I'm going to regret that. They will lose.
Yeah.
By,
what about the Patriots so far in their first two games gives you any reason to believe that the Jets?
Man, you never know, man.
Go into Foxborough.
Brown might take the afternoon off to go.
Division rival pride.
Yeah, go.
New England could not show up and win.
All right, Saints at the Seattle Seahawks. 4.5 points the Saints are getting.
I hate to do it. I got to take Seattle in this game.
Saints.
I'm glad you asked me this question because you don't have a little something. I take the Saints. Come on.
Oh, you homer. I'm off the board. For Heath, Tomas, Wesley, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast, 97.7. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, I don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, bye.